This episode is supported by EarnIn. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn now can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Super, super easy to use. You just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. So the app is free. You can leave a tip if you want. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. So here's the thing. Sometimes getting close to your next paycheck, next pay period, and you realize, oh gosh, like paycheck doesn't come until next Friday, but we have this event that we need to attend this weekend and we need money for it. Or we have to buy a gift for someone. Or, oh my gosh, like my kid tore through their shoes and now we have to buy new shoes this weekend and the money's not in the bank yet. So EarnIn can help you access the money you've already earned at work by giving you this little bit of money in advance. So make EarnIn part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security, and it gives me a lot of peace of mind. So for our listeners, all you need to do is download EarnIn today. It's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, and you can download it in Google Play or the Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Shameless Mom under podcast when you sign up. So there'll be a little place where you can, where it says, what podcast did you hear about them on? Type in Shameless Mom under podcast. This helps to show support for our show and our advertisers. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank, and subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 844. Show notes for this episode, including any links mentioned in the episode, can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 844. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean. I'm here to give you and other passionate, driven, unapologetic moms tools, resources, and a little bit of humor to help you lead more positive, powerful, and purposeful lives every damn day. One of the best things about the Shameless Mom Academy is our community, so be sure to join us in our free private Facebook group to connect with other shameless moms just like you. You can find us over at shamelessmom.com/Facebook. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Hello, shameless moms. Oh, I'm excited to talk about this today. We're going to talk about rest. And I'm recording this at the beginning of the new year in January of 2024. This is always, always relevant, but I wanted to record it now because as we think about how we want a year to play out for ourselves, I want to invite you to really, really consciously integrate rest into your life in a intentional way over the course of the next year. And with this, I'm hoping that you will be able to frame rest in a way that allows you to see and understand the truth about rest, which is that rest is your birthright and rest is not a reward. And so often when we are leading hectic, busy, chaotic lives as women, as leaders, as moms, we think that we have to do all these things before we let ourselves rest. And we get in a pattern of using rest as a reward. As soon as I do all these things on my to-do list, then I'll let myself rest, which is a really, really unhealthy relationship with rest. And it's not one that serves our physical health, our mental health. It also isn't what we want to be modeling to our kids, that you don't rest until you earn it. So we're going to dig into all of this today. I have to tell you that so much of my passion around rest, as someone who struggles with it, let me also say that, like, I am not good at all the things I'm going to tell you because I am someone who has used rest as a reward for much of my life. It's part of my nature as a type A, high achiever kind of a person. But so much of what I have learned has been from the work of Tricia Hersey, who wrote the book Rest is Resistance. And so I will link that book in the show notes. It is a phenomenal book. It is so eye-opening. And it also is this call to arms that helps us see the way that we are conditioned to think about rest in our current culture is the reason that we don't rest. And it also calls us to recognize that when we don't rest, we are participating in supremacy culture. Because what has been created for us to never let ourselves rest, to always hustle and do more and produce more and always be creating more and never, never stop, that is all supremacy culture. That is all culture that was designed centuries ago, decades ago, but over the course of many, 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 many years, we condition people to recognize that creating more is always better. And a lot of this precedes the Industrial Revolution, but there's also roots in the Industrial Revolution where we're in this Industrial Revolution, we're coming out of the Depression, and we're like, oh my gosh, we have to like produce these things. This is our way out of this really hard season in life. And this is the way we can pull ourselves out. And there was a panic about that because things had been so hard for so long. But when we look back even before that, we look at the way that people were allowed to use rest based on race. And so when we look back at how in times of slavery and how slaves were allowed to rest or not, in most cases not, and probably close to all cases not, versus the people who had the oppressors, people who had control over them, how they were allowed to incorporate rest, really, really different models in terms of how rest was used and then how rest we were, people in those times were allowed to use rest as a birthright or not. And so the book, Trisha's book, Rest is Resistance, is just phenomenal. It's so eye-opening. What I want you to be thinking about, though, as we talk through rest today is what messages have you consciously and subconsciously been carrying around rest? And what are the costs of those messages to you? What are the costs of those internalized beliefs? Again, whether they're conscious or subconscious, what is the cost of those beliefs and that belief system? And how is it working for you or not working for you? And my guess for most of us, because I know so many people who listen to the show are like me, high achiever, go, go, go people who are just like always looking ahead and never stopping in the moment to pause for a second and like maybe take a nap. There's definitely a lot of costs for that for us. So when we think about women's conditioning around rest, we have been in a system where hustle rewards women. So of course we keep hustling because we have been rewarded for that. Especially as we have fought to have the same rights as men, working moms, as we fight to show up in the workforce and be recognized and seen as being qualified and competent and able to keep up with things, hustle has been rewarded. So I want you to think about where you have pushed yourself to hustle, not just to hit a certain mark in order to get through a sprint season in your life, because we do have to do that sometimes. I don't want to say like never hustle. There's definitely times where you might be like, this is a really busy week or a chaotic quarter or season that I have to get through. I know many people who friends of mine who've gone back to school or clients of mine who've gone back to school, they're like, okay, for like the next 2 years, life is going to be really different. Now that doesn't mean you don't rest for 2 years, but you're in this season where you're like, okay, it's going to be extra work. And how am I going to then get through that? So there are these seasons where we do have to push, we do have to hustle. But when we make that a lifestyle that is indefinite, that's where things become problematic. So thinking through, where have you incorporated hustle and internalized hustle culture into your life in ways that maybe you haven't noticed? I remember a friend of mine telling me years ago, so she would have had, before Vinny was born, she would have had like a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old. And I remember her saying after she was back at work, after having her second child, and I remember her saying like she couldn't believe how overwhelming life was. She's a lawyer. She had a really busy legal job. And her husband also a lawyer. And she said that they both worked full time. The kids had this fantastic child. They were in childcare and they loved their childcare provider. So luckily that was, you know, really helping them and really supporting their family. But she said that she would get home in the evening and like you get home in the evening at like 6 o'clock from a totally packed day of like legal chaos. Like there's a lot of intensity around being a lawyer, right? So you get home from this really, really busy day and then you go into mom mode. And mom mode, when you have a 3-year-old and a 6-month mode, that is like a whole nother hustle. Like that is a whole second day of hustle from like 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. or whatever it is for you. And so that was like this whole hustle. And so she said like every week was like just getting through the week, but then she'd get to the weekend and it was all the things that she couldn't get done between like 6 and 9 p.m. during the week. So it was the laundry and the grocery shopping and the house stuff and all this stuff. And she and her husband worked really well doing it together and doing it jointly, but it was still just like she said, it's just this like hamster wheel that never ends. And I remember not having Vinny yet. And I was like, that sounds really hard. Like, this is good birth control. But then after Vinny was born, I was like, oh my gosh, I see it. Like you get so caught up in just having to survive that you can't see outside of your own hustle to see that, oh my gosh, I haven't rested in so long. And so when we would meet up during that time, we would meet up to work out together. And I remember like that was her only rest. And resting absolutely can be working out if that is like a mental escape for you, if it improves your health, if it's a place where you to turn your brain off or do some processing, that can be a form of rest and restoration for sure. But it's also like, you know, continuing to push and go hard often in a workout. It's not like we were doing like these super like relaxing yoga workouts. It was like we were doing swimming workouts and weight workouts. And so we were like getting in the pool and going really fast and then getting out there and doing our weights. And it was a hustle. This episode is supported by Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I just randomly, Vinny was having a toe skin irritation issue, and he ended up having this like skin that was really irritating him, and it was getting kind of like icky, and you know like when kids start to get like little scabs and scratches and then they want to pick at it, and it was getting worse. And so Active Skin Repair showed up on my doorstep as a result of the sponsorship, and I got to put it to use immediately. And I got the ointment formula, or the like ointment formulation, and then also the spray, and the spray was perfect. So Vinny does not like ointmenty, creamy, lotiony things on his body, but I was able to get out the spray, literally took it out of the packaging the day it arrived, put it on his toe before he went to bed, and the next morning he was like, "Mom, my toe's all better." It was literally like this super amazing cure that helped his toes so quickly. So you can use Active Skin Repair on a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, other types of skin damage. It's totally safe, non-toxic, suitable on all types of skin, even parts of the body where you might have rosacea or eczema or have acne-prone skin. This is also safe for the youngest members of your family up to the oldest. So now you have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews and super safe and clean ingredients, Active Skin Repair is something that you want to have on hand for your family. So to get your own Active Skin Repair, go to activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code SHAMELESS. That's activeskinrepair.com. Use the code SHAMELESS for 20% off your order. activeskinrepair.com, code SHAMELESS. This episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert, Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explains. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. I think this example is very, very true for so many women in motherhood. And then when we think about what we do in the workplace, so this woman also was really wanting to advance her career. It was really important for her to do things with her law career and regardless of motherhood. And so she hustled in her work. And this is also really common where everywhere we turn, we're like, okay, I just got to get through this. I just got to get through that. If I want to get to the next thing, I have to do that. You can see how over time that rest is just never built in. And it's really, really hard to find time for it when it's not modeled anywhere. You don't see anyone doing it. People aren't talking about it at work. So one of the most powerful things we can do is to start talking about rest and to start talking and to start leading others by demonstrating how we integrate rest into our lives as a birthright and not a reward, because we've been so conditioned not to do that. We also have to look at when women started getting messages coming out of the 50s and 60s, when we started getting these messages that women can do anything, now you can vote and you can have your own credit card and you can take out a mortgage and you can get jobs and you can move up the corporate ladder. Now, all that with the asterisk that it's going to be twice as hard and you're going to have to go twice as slow because of all these systems of oppression that are in place for women. But we were getting these messages that, like, you can have it all now. And in order to then go get it all, we had to work double time, because while we were being told you can go have it all, there was no adjustment in the current systems where things were taken off of our plates. So it was like, yeah, you can go do it all. Sure, woman, go after the career you've always wanted, but also make sure you keep that household running smoothly, keep the kids, all their needs met, get dinner on the table. It was basically like, take your full-time job of household management that you've been told that is your primary, should be your primary focus for women into the 50s and 60s, and then add to that, sure, go get that full-time career and go for it and get anything you want and go for the raise and the promotion and take all that on. But like, make sure you also keep doing all the other things you were still doing. So we weren't given systems that were like, okay, now that you're going to take on other things, now that we're creating opportunities for women to really, really show up and shine and be given equal opportunities, even if they're being paid less and they have to work twice as hard, there was no integration of, okay, we're recognizing that now we have to adjust systems accordingly so that you can actually go get the things that you want within like normal human capacity, not having to essentially be two full-time human beings all the time. So we were conditioned to then go after things in a way that was just adding more and more and more to our plate all the time without ever taking anything off. And that's what we've done. And we've done that for generations. So this is what we were modeled. And this is also what we are modeling in many, many cases, that yes, you can have it all, go get it. And here's all the other things you're going to have to carry with you, because we haven't created systems that will allow you to do it any other way. So when we don't have systems that allow us to see what healthy rest looks like, it's really hard to create that for ourselves. And it can feel very indulgent and it can feel very uncomfortable, because it feels like, well, who am I to go rest when other people can't rest? It feels like this very privileged position. And Trisha actually talks about this in her book. She's like, yes, we all have this birthright to rest, and we all need to integrate rest in more healthy ways. And also, if you are coming from a position of privilege, how are you not only honoring your own rest, but how are you also calling out systems that do not allow other people to rest, people in the margins to rest, that do not allow people who carry marginalized identities to rest? How are you recognizing that you can rest, but also if you come from a position of privilege, you need to be checking the systems to make sure that the systems that are going to allow you to rest will also allow everyone else to rest. So she talks about this specifically between Black and white women. So women, many white women have much more privilege than many Black women in so many ways. And we've seen this over centuries. And this is baked into our culture and into our existing systems of oppression. And so how can I recognize as a white woman that I can create space for me to rest, but how am I also making sure that other people who don't carry the privilege that I carry are also going to get the benefits of a system that allows for rest? That's a really, really big question, but it's also how we all need to be in it together, because at the end of the day, we belong to each other, right? So when we look at resting, what does that look like? And how do we recognize that just because we've been told we can have it all doesn't mean we have to prove at all times that we can be doing it all the time, all at once? We have created systems and structures where our constant need to overproduce, overgive, and overprove ourselves has led us to burnout, like collective wide scale burnout. And to the point that we don't even recognize that we're there. Like, let's be really clear about this. Some of us are like, yes, I'm burnt out. Like, I can recognize that. I can look at these symptoms of burnout and be like, yes, that is me. And then others of us are in burnout, but it feels so normal because we've been there for so long, we don't know that that's what it is. And I've had conversations with friends who have done a lot of work around this and work on resetting nervous systems. And when we look at resetting nervous systems and we look at coming out of burnout and we look at how to integrate rest as a birthright, sometimes the automatic thought that we have, if we're someone who's lived in burnout for a long time, if we're someone who has not been able to rest consistently in a long time, we look at this and we're like, okay, so I should schedule a vacation, right? Or okay, I should like get a massage once a month. We look at it as this really like finite thing. Like, okay, I'm going to put it on my calendar so that I can rest here once a month, or I can rest here like every 6 months, I'll take a vacation and I can rest there. Which, by the way, if you're like going on vacation with your family, that doesn't even count. So we look at where can we put rest in these like really infrequent ways and then count it as rest. If we are looking at how we actually want to reset our nervous systems from a lifetime of not resting and being conditioned to live in a way that does not allow for rest as a birthright, we really have to look at how are we going to rest on a very regular basis over the long term. This means that we need to be intentionally creating downtime in very consistent ways. That we need to give ourselves permission to do nothing, and that we need to say no to things in order to do nothing. These can be really uncomfortable. I've been in the situation recently where I was invited to do something and I really wanted to go because it was with people who I love, people who I enjoy spending time with, people who I very legitimately wanted to catch up with. And also it had been a very busy, hectic, overwhelming week. And I was so pulled. I was like, okay, I can go do this thing with them. And I know it would be great to catch up. But oh my gosh, this week has been so much. And I really, really also feel the need to like put on my pajamas at 5 o'clock and sit down and not talk to anyone except for like my family members, which will just involve like having a family movie night. And so I had to say no to the thing. And I had to say no to this thing that would have been fun because I just really needed to do nothing. And that level of permission felt really uncomfortable. And I caught myself starting to send a text out that was like this big excuse around, well, I can't do it because of this and this and this. And like kind of even like a half truth around, because I didn't want them to think I didn't want to be there. I mean, I just got all wrapped up in my head about it. And then I realized like, these are women who really respect boundaries. And these are women who have said to me, I can't do something because I'm just too tired. Yet I didn't feel like I could go and say the same thing. So I finally just replied and I was like, I would love to do this, but I'm so spent. It's been such a long week and I can't get it together to get out of the house. And they were like, cool, no problem. Like it was so not a big deal. But I caught myself in this moment where my socialization was like, don't let them down. You know, don't say no. You're not even going to do anything if you say no. You're just going to be sitting here doing nothing. I needed to sit there and do nothing. That is what I needed most in that moment. So where can you catch yourself in those moments where you never give yourself permission to do nothing, where you don't let yourself say no to things in order to quote unquote do nothing? And then how are you creating intentional downtime? This episode is supported by AquaTrue. Having clean, safe water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water. So that's why you got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers have a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers, which is what we have, take no installation or plumbing, and they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. And they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS, which can lead to potentially adverse health effects like cancer, endocrine system disruption, and liver toxicity, which is part of what makes AquaTrue so special, unique, and important in terms of how they are able to filter water. They also have water purifiers to fit every type of home. So like the installation-free countertop purifier that we have at our house to higher capacity under sink options. They even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. So I'm so excited about our new AquaTrue. And here's the thing. I swear it's like a gentle reminder to actually drink more water every time you walk into your kitchen. So we are drinking more water now and also more clean water. So more water that is more clean. It feels like a double win. I'm feeling pretty impressed with us. I feel like sink water, tap water becomes invisible at a certain point. And when I see the purifier on my counter, it's like many time a day reminder to like, keep drinking. So I want you to check out AquaTrue for yourself and for your family. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money back guarantee, and that makes it a great gift as well. Today, my list listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter the code SHAMELESS at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use the code SHAMELESS, S-H-A-M-E-L-E-S-S. AquaTrue.com, code SHAMELESS. This episode is supported by Nutrafol. Did you know that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women? If you're among them, you are not alone. Thinning hair is normal, but it's not openly talked about, so it can feel lonely and frustrating and sometimes even embarrassing when you're going through it yourself. Join the over 1 million people who are doing something about their thinning hair with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Oh my gosh, I am a heavy shedder. So if you are a heavy shedder, or if you are someone who's wanting to thicken your hair, I definitely want you to try out Nutrafol. I have loved using it myself, and I know multiple other people who've used it and have found great results. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. To get started, you can take their hair quiz on Nutrafol.com, which will give you a personalized health plan based on your special root causes. Nutrafol is committed to helping you identify root causes of any shedding or hair loss so that you can really start to rebuild healthy hair in a way that is customized to you. So take the first steps to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code SHAMELESS. Find out why 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Go to Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code SHAMELESS. Nutrafol.com, code SHAMELESS. Trisha Harrisy gives this powerful example of how she integrated rest when she was a single mom working full-time and in grad school. And she talks about getting up, I want to say it like 5 a.m., like this really, really early hour of the day, to get her child across town to childcare and then get herself back across town to get to school and then do some class time and then work her job and then do more class time, get back across town to pick up her child, come home and get her child fed into bed and then do homework and then get to bed by like midnight in order to get up the next day and do it again, like starting at like 5 a.m. or something. So she had the system in place where, and she had this realization that she wasn't getting any rest and that was having all these detrimental effects on her. And she recognized that she needed to incorporate rest. And she was like, where? How? Like, what's that going to look like? And she started finding times where she could rest in small bits of time consistently throughout the day. And so she gives this example of she would take the bus with her child and she used that bus time for study time. Like, that was critical, crucial study time for her. And she started letting herself, and at first like giving herself permission, but then also making sure that this was not a reward, that this was a birthright, and this was actually more important than many other things, she started letting herself integrate rest into those bus rides. So instead of studying for the whole bus ride, she would let herself rest and stare out the window for 10 minutes, and then she would go back to doing her homework and studying and doing the stuff that she needed to do for school. When she was at her working, when she had time between like her job and class and that like little tiny transition times, finding ways where she could just sit for a minute and like take some breaths and before she moved on with her day. So it was like these little micro opportunities for rest throughout the day that were very consistent, that were very intentional, and that were pre-planned so that she integrated them on a really regular basis. So when we think of ourselves being so busy and we think, well, there's no way I could take a nap today, maybe that isn't what it needs to be. Maybe it needs to be deep breaths. I oftentimes, when I walk up to pick Vinny up from school, I have to catch myself in these moments of, okay, like I'm away from my computer. Now I should catch up with all the things on my phone. So while I'm walking up to school, I should be like replying to texts and replying to video messages on Marco Polo and like checking in with so-and-so and doing all these things. And I cannot tell you how amazing it is when I catch myself and I put my phone back in my pocket and I say, no, I'm just going to walk. I'm just going to walk with the dog. And I'm just going to breathe and I'm going to walk the 4 blocks without more input and without outputting anything. And it feels so restorative. It's like this moment to process what I've been doing that day up to that point, like process and kind of complete my day up until 3 p.m. and then take some deep breaths and restore for the next part of my day, which will go from like 3 p.m. to 10 p.m., which by the way is like a whole nother day. That's 7 hours. So when we go to like pick our kids up at school and it's 3 o'clock and we're thinking like, oh, the day's winding down. That's like lunchtime. Like, we're still 7 hours left of the day, depending on when you go to bed and when you get your kids from school or daycare or whatever. But there's still this chunk of the day that is sizable and significant. So those little moments where you can integrate rest can make a huge, huge difference. What happens when we don't model rest? When we don't model rest, we stand for these systems that have taught everyone to hustle, that have taught us to always be going harder and faster at all times. We are supporting the models that say that women need to overproduce and overgive and overprove themselves in order to get where they want to go. Now, if you are a woman in a position that does not have much power, you might be saying, oh my gosh, but that's what I need to do to get ahead. And you might be right. If you are a woman that has more power, if you are a woman that is in a position of power in your workplace or in your community, how can you really take responsibility to model that I'm not going to overproduce and overprove and overgive? And I'm going to be really vocal about that so that other people know that that is appropriate and that that is what we should be doing and that that is healthy and that that is safe and that that is your birthright. A couple of the ways that I've seen this happen is when corporate leaders, leaders in any capacity in the workplace, say, you can email me any time of day, but know that I don't reply to emails after 5 p.m. So you've said to your team members, you can shoot me a message anytime you want. Like, my inbox is never closed to you, but also I don't reply to emails after 5 o'clock. And then you actually do not reply to emails after 5 o'clock. Or same thing with, like, you can shoot me an email anytime. If it's outside of working hours or over a weekend, I'm not going to reply. So that people know that. And then you have to actually do that. So you can't actually then reply to the email on the weekend. I was just in this situation a couple days ago where I had a Monday meeting with a group of potential clients, and I was really excited for this meeting. And I thought on Sunday, I was like, oh, I should send out this email to them with just a couple items for the call, just a couple like quick notes. And then I thought, oh no, I'm not going to send this message on a Sunday, because if these people become coaching clients of mine, I do not want to model to them that I am sending my clients emails on Sundays. So instead, at first thing on Monday morning, I sent them the email with like, hey, here's the things that just I wanted to get on your radar before we get on our call later this afternoon, because I wanted them to know that I'll send an email reminder first thing in the morning, but I'm not sending an email reminder in the middle of a weekend, because if they are going to become my clients, that's not the precedence I want to be setting. Nor even if they don't become my client and they're looking at me as someone who does business coaching, I don't want them to think like, oh, well, person who owns a business should be sending out emails on a Sunday. So we always get to choose what we're modeling and what we're modeling to the people that we're mentoring, what we're modeling to the people who are watching us. People are always watching, my friends. What we're modeling in our relationships. I also don't really want my kids seeing me sitting on the couch with my laptop when we're supposed to be watching a show together and me being like on a Sunday afternoon saying, okay, well, I just have to send this email to my clients really quick on a Sunday at 2. I don't want him to see that. So we have to really think about what we're modeling if we're in a position to be modeling to other people what this can look like. So as you move forward, as you move into the new year, how can you be conscientious of integrating rest as your birthright into your year? How can you integrate rest in a way that it's not something you have to earn, that you don't have to get everything done on your to-do list, that intentionally you're saying, hey, I'm stopping in the middle of the to-do list. I'm taking a break. Here's what I'm going to do, and then I'll come back to the to-do list later. I am definitely guilty of wanting to get all the things done because I think I want to get all the things done so that I can really rest, so that I don't have anything on my mind. I do this with food too. Like, I want to get everything done before I have lunch so that I can really sit and enjoy my lunch. But the thing is, when I do that over and over and over again, I've proven to myself that I just never get around to the rest. I never get around to the eating. This has happened to me so many times where I thought I'm just going to get all this stuff done so that I can eat lunch. And then all of a sudden it's time to go pick up Vinny and it's 3 o'clock and I haven't eaten lunch because I've been trying to get all these things done before I can sit down and rest and enjoy my lunch in peace. The long-term effects of that, I have to say, like, when I do that repeatedly a few days in a week, it really, really messes up my body. I start getting headaches. I start feeling really cranky, and it's not in that moment. It's not in the moment of being hungry at 3 o'clock that afternoon. It's literally like 2 days later, my body catches up and is like, remember 2 days ago when you didn't eat for way too long? Like, we're letting you know now that that was not okay. And so for me, it's a delayed reaction where I've had to catch it over time and be like, oh, wow, I need to be doing better with this because it is a delayed response and I need to recognize where it's coming from. So where are you going to integrate rest as your birthright in 2024, not saving it for a reward, not saving it for the last thing on your list, but putting it near the top of the list because it's something that needs to be integrated every single day, not just a spa trip once a month or once a quarter, not a vacation once or twice a year with your family that's not even relaxing. It needs to be integrated every single day. So I hope this was helpful. I know this is a lot to take in, a lot to consider. So please listen to this episode more than once if you really need to like feel this seeping into your core. And know that this might not look perfect. You might have to do some experimenting. It might be really uncomfortable. Like permission to do nothing can feel uncomfortable if you're someone who's always doing something. So we're all in this together. And I am definitely in this with you always. Thank you so much for joining me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. I really, really appreciate you being here, and I hope you learned something new. As always, this conversation will be continued over in our free private Facebook group. You can join that group by going to shamelessmom.com/Facebook to connect with other shameless moms just like you. Additionally, if this is your first time listening to the show, know that we are here every Monday and Wednesday with a brand new episode. So make sure you subscribe. Go to whatever podcast app you use and subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. You can do that directly if you go to shamelessmom.com/review. That will put you in Apple Podcasts, where you can click on the subscribe button, and you can also leave a review. If you scroll down a little bit, you can leave a 5-star review. You can write a few sentences letting me know what you thought about the show. If you let me know how the show has impacted you in becoming a more shameless mom, you might be nominated to be Shameless Mom of the Week. Also, please share this episode. My goal is to help more mamas be more shameless every damn day. So please do share this episode. You can take a screenshot of the episode on your phone and then share it out on social media. Tag me at the Shameless Mom Academy on Facebook or Instagram. I'm quick to reply and eager to send you Facebook love and love to be connected to all of you. So again, thank you for being here. I can't wait to be back here again with you in just a couple days. And until then, no matter what you do today, make sure you do it shamelessly.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.